firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Now, as we've traveled through 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 6 in the last couple of weeks, we've been learning about God's comfort. And today, as the Bible bus pulls up to chapter 7, we'll hear more about comfort. But this time, it gets a little more personal as Paul responds to some issues within the Corinthian church. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to grab your copy of God's Word and find a good seat. And while you get comfortable, let's welcome Through the Bible's President Greg Harris. Greg, on the World Prayer Team this week, we've been praying for Through the Bible's ministry in the country of India. And while we do have some great letters to read this month, we can go one better this time, can't we?
Well, absolutely, Steve, we can, because we were able to travel together to India. And I think it was your first time in India and in that region of South Asia.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was quite a journey.
Yes. Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, we had a very, very long, we had some serious delays, and it took us over 50 hours from the time we left our homes to the time we got to our destination. But when we got there, talk about how you perceived what you saw. First, we were in India together. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that was the trip to India. I think obviously the highlight was going down into the southern part of India and going to that conference that George Phillips and his wonderful staff put together, and to see, you know, 2,000 plus listeners of TTB in all these different languages within India, all gathered together in the same place, worshiping and singing. It was literally, I think, just a pulling the curtain back a little bit into what heaven's going to look like.
Yes.
It was wonderful.
And I think of that group of 2,000 people, and this was sort of an outdoor amphitheater because the climate is so mild. You can do things with no walls. They had a roof over this, and the 2,000 people and all of the languages had hanging posters or signs over these different areas. So as we were singing, for example, How Great Thou Art, which, of course, we could sing it in English. We know the tune. We were hearing it in all of these other languages. It really was incredible.
Yeah.
And then do you remember when they brought all of the people up on the stage and they were giving testimonies
and incredible stories,
and we had a chance to go down and meet some of these people afterwards. In fact, we have to talk about the lady. I don't want to ruin the story.
They're so hard to believe. It's like I'm not making this up.
No, it's true.
Where this lady was essentially kidnapped from her village, forced into prostitution by a guy who was basically prostituting her, acting as her pimp. He's listening, tuning the radio, ends up listening to Through the Bible, gets convicted of his sin and what he has done wrong. And just to show you the difference in cultures, I mean, if he had done this next step in the U.S., he'd be in prison. But he goes back to the village with which he took her, apologizes to the parents and the family members, ends up marrying the woman. They end up both coming to Christ. They end up having a long-term married relationship with kids who are following Christ. And the story just goes on and on.
And believe it or not, this man pastors four churches now.
Yeah.
In fact, we met his wife, and they have four daughters, apparently, and we met one of them. And it was amazing to look at that young woman and think of the history that you just recited, and how it's both bizarre, but it's also wonderful how redemptive it was that God could bring this family out of such horrible sin. And now this man is leading a church. He wasn't able to be there because he had some important things going on at his church. And that was just one of repeated testimonies that we heard.
Yeah.
Also, you had a chance to meet a man that was a gang leader.
No, we can that one. Talk about there's that. Another incredible one. The guy's a member of a 150-man gang. They end up robbing a house with, he takes five of his closest friends, and they end up robbing a house. And the problem is there's a woman there who ends up shooting and killing the other five guys. She's pointing the gun at him. He begs for forgiveness and begs to say, look, just don't kill me. She calls the police. He goes to jail, ends up listening to the broadcast, converts to Christ, ends up, she subsequently visits him. She trusts Christ. ends up leading a very large small group. The number was like 300 in prison, gets out of prison, converts a substantial number of his gang members, and now he pastors. Is it three or four churches?
Yeah, he pastors three churches. And as you said so well, Steve, you couldn't make this kind of thing up. And it is amazing how the Lord just is working. I wish we had more time to talk about this, but this is why we want to thank all of our friends for praying for us as we traveled and for continuing to pray for the ministry in India.
Yeah. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, our hearts are warmed by these amazing testimonies of your grace in people's lives. Thank you for your grace in our lives. We pray that you would transform us as we encounter your word, just as you're transforming lives across the globe. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Today our study, friends, brings us to the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now, we want to see here the last chapter of the comfort of God. We are going to see how very personal this chapter is. Well, the last chapter was personal too, but I think this even more so. Now let me begin reading here. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, we need to note that when Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, what promises are in the mind of the Apostle Paul? Well, obviously, it's the promises he's just been talking about here. And these promises that he's been talking about were back here. He says, and I'll read the last two verses of the 6th chapter again, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, the promises are this. Paul is not saying here that you don't come out and be separate, that you'll lose your salvation. What he says here, that if you do not come out and lead a clean life, that God can't treat you as a father. And I gave the illustration last time that a father has a wayward son, and the father said to me, he said, I'd like to treat him like my son, but I can't. He's alienated from me, and he's in trouble and difficulty. He resents me, and I can't be a father to him. But he was the father of the boy, you see, but he couldn't act like a father. Now, that's what he's saying here, and God says to you, having these promises, that God wants to treat us as a father. And a great many of us do not know by experience what a wonderful father we have, because we don't give him a chance, really, to be a father to us, you see. He wants to be. Well, how are we to do it? Well, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Now, what does he mean here by cleansing ourselves? Cleansing ourselves, very frankly, is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's when you and I deal with these things in our lives. Now, he says here, from all filthiness. Now, all sin is filthiness, but he divides it here into the filthiness of the flesh and the filthiness of the spirit. Now, what's the difference between the sins of the flesh and the sins of the spirit? Well, now, here are the things that we're to separate ourselves from, and the things, actually, that he's mentioned. And they're the sins, of course, that we commit in the body, in these bodies of ours. It has to do with unholy lusts, unbridled appetites, drunkenness, gluttony, licentiousness, inordinate affection, lusting today after the wrong things. These are the sins of the flesh. These are the dirty things. And you and I are living in a world today that's giving a respectability to the sins of the flesh. Let me use this illustration, the matter of liquor today. And the Word of God still says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also. God have mercy on you, Christian, if you're serving cocktails in your home. The Word of God rebukes it. Habakkuk 2:15, if you want to know where that is, and in Proverbs 23:31, he says, look not upon the wine when it's red. And today, we say that alcohol is all right. I heard the other day on the radio and on TV this type of an advertisement. It says, the mark of a mature, sensible, and successful man today is one who's able to drink cocktails. Oh, my friend, what propaganda that is. You talk about brainwashing people. Hitler never did a better job of brainwashing, nor did the communists, than is being done by the liquor interests today. Now, may I say to you that that's the mark of a mature, sensible, and successful man. But wait a minute. You know what that was an advertisement for? It was not for the advertisement of old Southern Comfort or an old crow or some other old bird. It was an advertisement from an organization that deals with alcoholics. Now they added and said, you know, there's some people that just don't know how to handle their liquor. You bet they are. There are a whole lot of them, several millions of them, and we taxpayers are paying the hospital bill that the liquor interests create today. These are sins of the flesh that we're talking about. And then look today at our bookstands, filled with the vilest pornographic literature that is imaginable, that glorifies the human body and sex. And we have today as a result all this permissiveness in sex. God's Word still condemns all of that, you see. Now, these are the sins of the flesh. And my friend, if you go and indulge in them, God can't treat you as a father. Now, you may be his son. I'm not going to argue that with you. But he can't treat you as a father treats his son. Now, he mentions here the filthiness of the spirit. Now, wait a minute. I may step on somebody's toes now. Oh, I'm not. The Word of God may. What are some of the sins of the Spirit? How about gossip, friends? How about issuing a vicious slander against some Christian brother? You know, there are a great many people who won't take a gun and pull a trigger and shoot a man down, but they'll take a dagger of gossip and put it in his back when he's not listening. And some of the dear saints in the church engage in that. And then what about vanity today? Oh, my. I saw a woman that was going to speak to a Bible class. And I've never seen anyone that was so intent on getting her looks or getting her face on, as it were. She put on, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not against makeup. A lady came to me that didn't have any on at all. And she says, Donna McGee, she said, do you believe it's sinful to use makeup? And I said, lady, it wouldn't be sinful if you used makeup, I can assure you that, because I think all of us Christians ought to look the best we can. Some of us don't have much to work with, but vanity, friends, oh, what a sin that is. Pride, these are the sins of the Spirit. Conceit, haughtiness, unbelief. Oh, these are the dirty sins of the Spirit today. And we got a lot of saints in the church. They wouldn't get drunk. They wouldn't smoke a cigarette either. But, oh, do they have, on the end of their tongue, they've got something that burns lots more than any cigarette burns, and that's gossip. Now, I know I'm stepping on toes. We probably ought to move away from that. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, we are to, the writer of the Hebrews says, we're to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, Christ is my righteousness. He's my holiness. But friends, my life and his perfection are really far apart. God says, let's not have such a big generation gap. Let's not have such a big holiness gap. I want you to be holy. May I say to you, this is a tremendous statement. Now I must move on. He says here, receive us, we've wronged no man, we've corrupted no man, we've defrauded no man. You know, when Paul came in. He didn't take an offering for a bunch of stray cats in Aleutian Islands. I don't know whether anybody's running that or not, but I'm sure not going to get in that business. We're not to take up offerings for things like that and then use them for something else. And then the deacon board in churches, when an individual gives money for a certain purpose, it's to be used for that. And friends, I know deacon boards that don't follow that. May I say to you, Paul could say, we've corrupted no man, we've defrauded no man. I wish that a great many today Christians could say the same thing. And then he says, I speak not this to condemn you, for I've said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Oh, how Paul loved these. Now, will you notice what he says here? He says, great is my boldness of speech unto you. Great is my glorying of you. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our trouble. Now, this is quite lovely, and I think we need to have a little background here to understand this, because some of you may have tuned in a little late as we come to this. And we need to recognize that Paul, in his first epistle to the Corinthians, he wrote them a very sharp letter. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians. And I tell you, Paul called them babes in Christ. He called them carnal Christians. And there was gross immorality among them. And he said, that thing, you are to put that away. You are to deal with it. They had dealt with it. And then Titus met him, you will recall, over in Philippi, and told him that the church had dealt with it and the man had repented. And then Paul wrote and told him, oh, you're to receive him now, because don't go to the opposite extreme and keep him out of your fellowship. Oh, my friends, today we need to recognize that. Now Paul begins to brood over all of this. And Paul says, maybe after all, I shouldn't have written such a sharp letter to you. Maybe I shouldn't have written like that. Maybe I should have come to you directly. And he's turning that over in his mind. Because you see, when he left Ephesus, he went to Troas. And he waited there. And Titus didn't come. And he's rebuking himself. And he went on up to Philippi. And that's when Titus came and brought him word at that time. Now, somebody's going to say to me, but I thought you believed in a verbal inspiration of the Scriptures, and that Paul was writing by inspiration in 1 Corinthians. Yes, he did. That's the inspired word of God. I believe that with all my heart. Well, then how could he rebuke himself? Because he was human. But God had him write like that. And God's having him write like this to let you and me know how human he really is. And then how tender and how sweet and loving he was. And that you and I ought to be the same way. Oh, what a lesson this is for us. And he says, now that he's received the letter, he says, I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. You know, there may be somebody listening to me today, if you'd sit down and write a certain letter to an individual that maybe you'd hurt years ago and tell them you were sorry and that you wanted to make things right. You know what you'd do for them? You'd make them exceedingly joyful. We need to do that. Verse 5, he's very personal now. I feel like we ought to turn our head now and not even read this, because this is very personal. I'm not sure Paul thought at this point that we'd be reading this today. He says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You see, God used a man to comfort Paul. And you could help some dear saint of God. My friend, when was the last time that you went to your preacher, put your arm around him, that is, if you're a man, put your arm around him and say, brother, I've been praying for you. I see you working pretty hard. And I know you're standing for the things of God, and I just want you to know I'm standing with you. He'd appreciate that. That is, if he's that kind of a preacher. If he's not, then don't do it. But if he is. Now listen to him. God that comforted those that are cast down, he comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation or comfort wherewith he was comforted in you. You comforted Titus, and Titus comforted me. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Somebody came to me the other day, and I was in a church service, and this party came to me and said, my brother who lives back east, and I call no names or give no places, he said, you know, he wrote me, we've been praying for him, and he said, you know, I've been listening to that fellow McGee from California. Hope you can meet him sometime and tell him that I have accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, why that brother didn't write me, I don't know, but he didn't. He wrote to his brother out here, and his brother told me. And I want to say that comforted me. Makes me know this radio program, friends, is something I ought to be doing. Listen to him. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. My friends, don't mind saying something nice to somebody. Your tongue won't fall out if you say something nice. Now he says, though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. You see, repentance and shedding of tears are not the same thing. They should go together, but they're not the same thing. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Now listen to this verse. It's an important one. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, what is real repentance? Repentance is a change of mind. Now, God, as far as I can tell, the only repentance he asks of the lost is in the word believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when you believe? Well, listen to Paul. Writing to the Thessalonians, he says, how ye turn to God from idols. That was a change of mind. Now, how did it work? They first turned to Christ. Paul came. He didn't come and preach against idolatry. He preached Christ. And when he preached Christ to them, they turned to Christ. But say they were idolaters. Now, when they turned to Christ in faith, what happened? Well, they turned from idols, and that turning from idols was repentance. Now, that's for the unsaved. I don't know whether God wants us to emphasize repentance to the unsaved. He wants us to emphasize Christ. But for believers, he says to them to repent. That is, if they go in the wrong direction. Now, a lot of people shed tears, but they don't mean it. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world. That's what works death, you see, sorrow of the world. My dad used to tell about a boat on the Mississippi River that when it was going upstream, this boat had a little bitty boiler and a great big whistle. And when they would blow the whistle going upstream, the boat would start drifting downstream because the boiler was so small it couldn't blow the whistle. The whistle was too big for the boat. Now today, there are a lot of folk that have got a great big whistle and a little bitty boiler. They'll shed tears, but they don't repent, really. They just shed tears, and they keep going the same direction. And a lot of folk, they got a big whistle. They cry a lot, but doesn't mean anything. And the thief, he wept when they caught him, but he didn't weep because he was a thief. He wept because they caught him. Now listen, he says, for behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourself, yea, what indignation. And he goes on to commend them for the fact that they really turned to God. Now, this was repentance for believers. There are a lot of believers today that need to repent. Now he says, verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I'm not ashamed. And then let me drop down to the last verse of this chapter, verse 16. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Paul just opens up his heart here, doesn't he? He's very, very personal. Here is God's comfort in the heart of Paul. What a lesson for us today. We'll leave right off there today, my beloved.
To know more about how you can repent and live a life that's pleasing to God, why don't you check out several free e-booklets that we have? You can just visit ttb.org/booklets to see the full list. Now, a couple of titles that you may want to specifically look at are Living the Christian Life God's Way and then How to Have Fellowship with God. Both of those are really good. And if you'd like to share today's teaching with a family member or friend, it's available anytime for free at ttb.org. Or better yet, you can share Dr. McGee's entire 5-year study of God's Word when you give the gift of the Solar Bible Bus or our Bible Bus Flash Drive. To find out more, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit our online bookstore at ttb.org/store. What's the basis for giving? Should we give maybe a tenth or a tithe? Well, we'll find out tomorrow in our study of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as we continue to make our way through the Bible.
All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.